You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary.
And that's hit in the air and it's caught at backward point.
You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary.
Thank you.
You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary. You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary.
After a goalless board draw against Poulton Rovers, the Stags travelled to Hamble the Rice in a Southampton Senior Cup quarter-final clash.
But it's nipped away from him. Brigade wins the second ball though. Finds Waterfield. Can Waterfield get the shot away? He can. He curls it right into the bottom right-hand corner. And Lewis Waterfield has given AFC Totten the lead. It's Hamble Club 0, AFC Totten 1.
Ball played over the top there by Bourne, looking for Hoey. I think Hoey was offside from the first ball. He's playing on there, and there's a late challenge there, and that will be a penalty. Jack Hoey is brought down in the box, and that will be a spot kick for AFC Totten.
You can tell that he is going up to this ball with intent. Jack Gwengwe with the penalty. And he puts it to the other side of Downs. Ball over the top here from Waterfield. Is it going to run for Kasimu? I thought there was a handball there outside the box. Nothing given. Hoey's there. Clips it over the goalkeeper and into the goal. Jack Hoey with an audacious lob after a defensive mix-up there. But that's all come from the hard work of Hisham Kasimu. But it's Handball Club 0, AFC Totten 3. Jack Hoey with the third.
Kasimu has got this ball here. A good bit of interplay here. Can Williams finish it? He can!
Brett Williams scores his first goal for AFC Totten in a very long time.
The bar here, but a few shots late in the day here for Hamble, but they can't get one in to the AFC Totten goal. And it is a full-time result here. Hamble Club 0, AFC Totten 4.
So, two goals either side of half-time saw the Stags cruise to a routine 4-0 victory against Hamble Club and set up a blockbuster semi-final tie against playoff and local rivals Winchester City. This afternoon, we're back at the Snows in the first of four remaining cup finals in the league as Jimmy Ball's Totten look to reclaim their place in the playoff hunt against Evesham United. Good afternoon and welcome back to Stags Radio, your home of live matchday commentary for all of AFC Totten's matches. This broadcast is brought to you by Agile Carpentry, and there'll be a little bit more on Agile throughout this afternoon's coverage. I am Ollie Howard, back at the Snow Stadium, where the sun is just seems to be creeping through the clouds in a crucial encounter between AFC Totten and the Robins of Evesham United in the Southern League Division 1 South. Joining me this afternoon and sitting to my right in the Stags palatial home is my co-commentator this afternoon, Doug Webber. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm good. Thank you very much, Ollie. I faded up the wrong mic. I'm seeming to make a bit of a habit of that at the moment.
Yes, I think you've done that a few times with your lead commentary and now on the co-commentary.
But no, really looking forward to this one. Sun's out. Players have just made their way back into the tunnel. So, it's not that long away till kickoff, and I'm looking forward to it.
Good. We'll get more thoughts from Doug throughout in the pre-match build-up of this game shortly. But let's begin by listening back to a jubilant Jimmy Balls post-match thoughts on his side's 4-0 thrashing over our Wessex League opponents.
Jimmy, a really professional performance tonight with a 4-0 win in the quarterfinals. How impressed were you with your Stag side?
Yeah, like you said, I thought it was professional. It was tricky, a good side. The middle of the pitch, the middle portion of the pitch was tricky, a bit of a lottery. The wings were fine, we could play a bit of football, but yeah, they went about their job really, really well, worked extremely hard, like they have in all the games, and I was frustrated Saturday, and I'm frustrated tonight, but for the same reason, I'm frustrated for them, because the effort they put in Saturday didn't get the rewards it should have, and to be honest with you, the effort they put in tonight didn't get the rewards they should have. We should have had a few more people on the score sheet, and everyone can jump into Saturday with, full of confidence, but they did what they had to do. They did the job in hand.
And you were very vocal for the full 90 to make sure that the players are in their correct positions. You must be really delighted that you've got a clean sheet under your belt.
Yeah, absolutely. After Saturday's two clean sheets in a row now. And that's the mentality you've got to have. You've got to come away from home. And if you can't win the game, you don't lose the game. You keep clean sheets and then you play when you have to. And we've done that in both games, Like I said, I was disappointed Saturday because the lads didn't get what they deserved out of the effort they put in and how well they defended. But they have tonight, and hopefully we can take that into Saturday full of confidence, which they should be.
So, Doug, 4 goals, a clean sheet. It's just what we needed after a few struggles in front of goal.
Oh, you're telling me. It was exactly what they needed. And I tell you what, it was a really good, comprehensive, professional performance from the lads. And look, you can tell from Jimmy there that he knows it's one result. He knows that the focus is on today and getting 3 points in the league, which are all important now.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the league is definitely still our priority, especially now we've dropped out of the playoff places. But I managed to speak to Jimmy immediately after the game on Stags Radio, and something that really resonated with me was I was mentioning how Brett Williams was back on the score sheet, Lewis Waterfield back on the score sheet, but his focus, and he almost shut me down in a way, saying every goal is a team goal, and he wants to instill that in his AFC Tottenham players' minds without focusing on individual performances. So, with that in mind, can you just see the blueprints of what our new manager is bringing to the club?
Oh, 100%. And the thing is he's already shown such a great attitude in that he's been going to see the youth lads. He really inspired the under-15s when he went to speak to them as well. And I think having that kind of full-time member of staff as the first team manager, so he's around the club all the time, I think that's so important.
Yeah, exactly. I think we remember we had Harry Good here on co-commentary one of the previous games, and he mentioned just how instrumental he is just getting in and around, not just on the pitch, but looking at the behind-the-scenes work as well. And I think it seems churlish not to mention this, but Brett Williams back on the score sheet for the first time since October against Scholing. Just how important is that goal for his confidence?
Yeah, it's massive. Like, I spoke to him afterwards, and there was a wry smile. He's been a goal scorer for the whole of his career. For him to have had, a dry patch is doesn't go far enough, I don't think. It's been a long time. And last goal against Scholing in October, it's a long time for a centre forward. But I think he will be a different player now.
Yeah, I completely agree. He's actually not starting today for the first time in, I believe, five or six league matches, but we'll get to team lineups in a minute. But just first, we'll just have a brief build-up on our opponents today, Evesham United, managed by Neil Hunt, nicknamed the Robins, as I previously mentioned. And little fact, they are the most northern side in our Southern League Division 1 South. About 120 miles north of Calmore, the home, the town of AFC Totten, in Worcestershire, and they play at the Spires and Hartwell Jubilee Stadium. Their current league position is 14th, but so from their perspective, it's almost like a nothing game. They're pretty clear of any worries of relegation, sitting 13 points above Mangotsfield in 18th. But they've had a few, they're hitting a bit of a rough patch in form over the last few. In their last three, but something that I think is quite important to mention is they've managed to get rather creditable draws against Froome, against Scholing. They've taken a point off Poulton and Parkway, and of course AFC Totten. So could we see a potential banana skin today?
I think in this league every game is a potential banana skin. I don't think you can take any game for granted. As we saw, we drew against Barnstable, being bottom of the table side. We lost 3-0 earlier in the season to Slimbridge, but then again we've beaten Froome three times this season. So I don't think there's any game that you can not go in 100% with. But yeah, knowing that we drew against them last time, it was a tough result, a very late goal to equalise for them. It's not going to be an easy game. And you can look at the last six games and say, yes, they haven't won a game in six. I don't think that means anything. I think yes, they won't be on top of their game in terms of their mental side, but the Totten lads will need to stay more than awake.
Yeah, I completely agree. You were lucky enough to partner Benjamin Rees in the reverse fixture back in November, I believe it was, where they scored a late equaliser and an absolute cracker, wasn't it?
Oh, it was
in
a great
Worcestershire
game.
3-3 draw. Give me your thoughts on what happened in there. Any bit of insight you can give us of what we can expect tonight?
Well, yeah. So Ben Jefford scored a superb goal in that game. Well, he's probably still living off it now, actually, because it was scored from distance. But it's one of a few games that we've drawn this season. Two goals on the day from Ethan Taylor as well. And somebody who started that game and did get booked is somebody who's sitting alongside me. Are you going to introduce him or should I?
Yeah, we're here with Jack Hoey, the goal scorer in our Tuesday night's win over handball. A pretty audacious goal, if I say so myself as well. How are you doing today, Jack?
Yeah, not too bad. It's a lovely day for football, so hopefully the lads can go out and get a win, get 3 points.
Yeah, we'll have a little bit more from Jack just before kickoff, and I believe throughout the game as well.
Yeah, I think Jack's staying for the first half, and then I think you're swapping for maybe Nathan Hurst in the second.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. So I'll be up here for the first half. Super. We'll have a laugh, and yeah, you'll have Hursty after.
Super, thanks. Yeah,
sounds good. Just for our more loyal supporters who have been in and around Totten for a few more years. Bit of history. The biggest goal margin we've actually experienced in these games is an Evesham thrashing of Totten 6-0 back in November 2015, and the pair have met 14 times since the 2011-2012 season, with Evesham having the upper hand. If you're a person keen on stats or history, they've won 50% of their games, seven, drawn four of them, and AFC Totten have only managed to win three of the 14 encounters. As you mentioned, we previously alluded to a 3-3 draw in the reverse fixture back in November, which was indeed Ben Jefford's first goal in AFC Totten's colours since joining from Basingstoke in the summer.
Yeah, he's added a couple since then, hasn't he? He's not a player that scores many goals, but when he scores a goal of that sort of quality, it's a big deal.
Yeah, and the players are just walking out here to a plethora of mascots. I can notice a few to the left of me down by the stand. There's loads of young fans today. I think the last time we had them was at home to Barnstable Town, and they had a rapturous applause, a rapturous support, and it would be a really good addition to the game today. So let's have a quick look at the lineups for today. For Evesham United, the away side, we have Isaac Parry in goal, number one. Number two, Joseph Hunt. Number three, Adam Mace. Number four, Elliot Kightley. Number five, Adam Pepera. Number six, Callum Clayton. Number seven, Jordan Lim. Number eight, Kyle Belmonte. Number nine, and quite a dangerous forward today, is Toumani Sidibe. Number 10, Brandon Smalley. And number 11, Jack Horrell. On the bench, we have number 12, Michael Simons. Number 14, Jacob Geddes. Number 15, Ben Prixer. And number 16, Rhys Bennett. And now look at your AFC Totten lineup for this afternoon's game. Number one, in goal, is the ever-reliable Lewis Noyce. Number two, Callum Bourne. Number three, Jordan Regay. Number four, Rob Flukes. Number 5, returning to the side and captaining today, Harry Medway. Number 6, Adeola Miwa. Number 7, Ethan Taylor. Number 8, Lewis Waterfield. Number 9, Hisham Kasimu. Number 10, Jake Adams. And number 11, Freddie Reed. On the bench for the Stags, a pretty stacked 5 bench. Here's number 12, Brett Williams. Number 14, Ben Jefford. Number 15, Iziaga Kaba. Number 16, Shaq Gwengwe. And number 17, Pascal Kapugamu. So 4 changes from the side that thrashed Hamble in midweek. What do you expect the formation to be today, Doug?
I was trying to have a little look at that. Looking at the personnel, you would imagine there are two ways of thinking. You can either potentially have Harry Medway as the holding midfielder, as we've seen recently, or at centre half. So I'm imagining there's probably going to be a back three with Callum and Jordan Regay on the wings. But we shall see. It'll be very interesting. And I think the thing is Jimmy has come in and he's mixed it up a bit. He's made a few changes in terms of the lineup and the formation. That's the thing, is that it's nice to have that bit of mystery and mystique.
Exactly. And I think what we noticed today is two people that we can almost guarantee will be in the midfielder, Freddie Reed and Lewis Waterfield, who I think were standout players in the win over Hamble. They really controlled the middle of the park. So once again, we're going to track back to the reverse fixture where both of these sides were actually managed by different people. We had Dan Sackman in charge, who was still the interim manager at the time, and Evesham were managed by Lee Driver Dickerson. We're about to kick off here, but just going to brief checkup on Agile Carpentry, who are sponsors today. They've been kind enough to sponsor our last 3 games, including the Stags Fan Zone against Biddeford, which unfortunate to lose 1-0. They're a family-orientated business, which is supported by over 10 years of experience, and they cover a wide range of locations in Southampton, Portsmouth, Brighton and Bath. But we are underway here at the Snow Stadium, a ball lumped up to the pitch to the right side of AFC Tottenham's defence. And just briefly looking, it does look like we are seeing a back five today. Jordan Regay and Callum Bourne occupying the flanks at wing-back. We've got Adeola Miwa on the right side of centre-back, Rob Flukes in the middle and Harry Medway on the left. Is that mainly what you expected, Doug?
It's what I can see in front of me, yeah. Seeing a very, very high line from Callum Bourne and Jordan Regay, which is something that we did see in midweek. As Flukes gets in a bit of difficulty here.
Oh, a bit of trouble there. Really big let-off for AFC Tottenham. Rob Flukes tried a clearance. It was closed down well by Evesham United, and it fell to Tumani Sidibe right on the penalty area, free, and he dragged a shot wide. Jack, a bit of a let-off early on.
Yeah, definitely. I think Flukes, he's just got in two sort of minds there, but really, to be fair, the lad should be doing better there.
Yeah, a chance here. Jordan Regay on the left-hand side. We said he'd like to get forward. He's tossed up against number 5. Good ball into the box, and it's a great save. Oh, how on earth has that not gone in? A brilliant ball then from Jordan Regay, who links up well with his opposite flank on the right-hand side, Callum Bourne, who gets to the ball just around the 6-yard box. But it's a fantastic save from Isaac Perry. But it only came as far out, back to Callum Bourne, whose second bite of the cherry just went over the bar. So we're only just over a minute into this game, but 2 brilliant chances. I don't know how it's still 0-0.
I think anywhere else in the goal and Callum would have scored. I can see a nod of the head there from Jack Curry sitting next to me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think if he puts that anywhere else, it's in.
Oh, almost another really bizarre start to this game. A ball was lumped up the pitch from inside our own half, and seems like Isaac Parry in the Evesham goal wasn't even watching the game, turned his back to it. And luckily for him, the ball bounced just before the goal and over the bar. So, like I said, an absolutely bizarre start to this game. Still 0-0 here on Stags Radio, sponsored by Agile Carpentry. But, you know, if this is anything to go by, I think we could be here for a very exciting affair.
Yeah, it's definitely started that way.
Yeah. I can hear a few shouts from the Evesham United fans. I'm not sure if it might have been the management team of Evesham United, as Harry Medway. A bit of a high foot there on Sidibe, who's back in the side today. He scored 6 goals in 13 games for the Robins, but he hasn't played for them since February. So I'm not sure if maybe there's some dual contracts in there. Maybe he's suffered an injury, but certainly a dangerous player for the visitors today. Ball whipped into the box with a free kick dealt with by Harry Medway, but Sidibe will chase that, but let it go behind for a corner. So a good chance for Evesham to put a ball into the box, but we have been quite good at defending set pieces so far this season.
That was a wicked, wicked free kick into the box. There's a bit of a swirly breeze here at the Snows today, but it looks like Adam Mace, the captain, is also their set piece specialist because he's gone to take this corner as well.
Yep, it looks like it. We got almost like a love train in the box for Evesham, as we saw for England in the World Cup and the Euro. So ball whipped in by Adam Mace and Lewis Noyce flaps at it and it's off the bar and Ethan Taylor hooks it clear. Still not out of danger. Lewis Waterfield, what a bizarre start to this game. Another chance. Flicks over the top for Brandon Smalley and his effort at goal goes over the bar. But another piece of goal mouth action and we're only 3 minutes into the game.
I'm not sure. I doubt it crossed the line, but it's very, very, it's frantic and frenetic in these early stages. I haven't seen a start like this for a little while, Jack.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's a bit end-to-end at the moment. I think Noisy potentially should come and
Jake
get
Adams that. Jake Adams, Hisham Kasimu on the right-hand side. He cuts inside on his left foot. Still going, shoots! Just right of Isaac Parry's goal out for a goal kick. It's been, as you said, Doug, an absolutely frenetic start. Jack, I'm sure you'd have loved to be on the pitch today.
Yeah, it's a bit end-to-end. Looks like there's plenty of space out there. There is a bit of a heavy wind, I think, like you've both mentioned. But, plenty of attacking play so far. So hopefully and keep it up.
Yeah, we've had about four amazing chances for two apiece for the side, but Parry's going to take the kick long. Seems like the sides have migrated over to the right side of the pitch. It comes out to Adam Mace on the left-hand side. Seems like he's captaining them from left back, and it's hoofed clear by Elliot Kightley, who signed for the Robins in January from Cirencester. Perhaps not getting enough time, but Jake Adams chases the ball down on the left-hand side and it goes back to Isaac Parry in goal.
I'm really pleased to see Lewis Waterfield getting a run out. Having been on loan to Lymington, come back and he was really, really dominant in midfield in the week and great to see him getting this league opportunity.
Yeah, it seems like these are two clubs that have almost got sister clubs in the divisions and divisions below. Evesham have got quite a few players that they've got from Lymington. It's a great ball over the top, looking for Jordan Gay on the left-hand side. He gets to the touchline. He's now tasked with up against Jack Howell. He puts the ball into the box and it's into the corridor of uncertainty. But Hisham Kasimu just can't quite get a flick on it to divert it goalwards. But I think it did get a nick off Evesham defender. So it'll be a throw-in now on the right-hand side that Callum Bourne will take.
Both teams just seem a little bit rattled anytime the opposition go forward. It's quite something.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a repeat of the reverse fixture in that 3-3 draw that we mentioned. Ben Jefford on the score sheet for us. A ball into the box. They go only as far as Rob Flukes, about 40 yards out, but a loose pass is easily cut out. So yeah, Ethan Taylor also scored a brace in that fixture. He's back in the side today. Another loose pass from Adeola Miwa that is well dealt with and will get a free kick. Rob Flukes looks like he's in a bit of pain there from a late challenge from Sidibe, I think it was. Doesn't look like Andrew Hanley. He's so poised at the touchline. He's just looking over with a latex blue glove, keeping the sunlight from getting into his eyes. But I think Rob Flukes is just going to... He's just on his haunches, but I think he'll be okay to continue. So a free kick just inside the Tottenham half, inside the centre circle. Rob Flukes will take it, so it looks like that injury wasn't serious. Looking long to Jordan Regay again on the left-hand side. It does look like that's going to be our point of interest. Jack Howell having the number 11 at right back today. Perhaps, I'm not sure if maybe he's a player playing out of position and Jimmy Ball has identified that as a moment of weakness. But Jimmy Ball, just looking down at the moment, what do you think Jimmy will think from the first 5 minutes?
He'll be shocked, I think. I think he'll be shocked with what's gone on, like the players are, shell-shocked. But it's good to see that Rob Flukes isn't in a bad way. He did go down quite heavily, but I think he'll be fit to continue.
Yeah, I agree. Number eight now, Carl Belmonte is a dangerous player for the visitors today. He plays in midfield, but he's gotten the score sheet quite a lot this season. Scored 7 goals in 16 games and potentially a talisman in the midfield. Again, we're going on the right-hand side now. Ethan Taylor switches the play. Slightly miscued, but enough for Jordan Regay to gain control of the ball. Jordan Regay finds Jake Adams on the left-hand side, who's well dealt with by the defender, who... Under a bit of pressure there from Adams, who didn't give up after he lost the ball. Adam Papera just getting it clear. goal scorer in the home 2-2 draw against Sholing back in March. It comes out to Hisham Kassimu here and Adam Mace will hoof it clear. But I was just going to say, Doug, we mentioned beforehand how it could potentially be a banana skin. So, you know, they've picked up points against the other teams in the playoff and automatic promotion hunt. And just by looking at their other games, you've got Belmonte on the score sheet, Smalley, Papera. We know Sidibe can be quite prolific in front of goal. They've got a few players that can cause problems for Tottenham today.
Oh, yeah. And I think maybe the team selection had that in mind, that playing three centre-halves, three strong physical centre-halves as well, that might be to keep those players quiet today. Jack, you could probably add a little bit to that. Do you reckon that was part of the selection?
Possibly. Again, going back to when we played them last time, it looks like it's kind of same shape, but they had the big lad up front, the big number nine, and he caused us a lot of problems that day.
Ball comes out to Lucas Waterfield. He's just going to play it inside. Bit of interplay attempted with Hisham Kassimu, but I can hear a bit of a high-pitched scream there from the pitch side. So Hisham Kassimu recognises that perhaps should have done better with the ball at his feet there, but it goes harmlessly into Parry's hands, who drop kicks it high towards Rob Flukes, who deals with it. Julie.
Rob Flukes, so comfortable in the air. When that ball is above his head, you almost know that he's going to make a connection with it. And Jack, when you are playing as a midfielder, when you have a player like Flukes at the back, how comfortable does that make you?
Yeah, I've said it multiple times. It gives you so much confidence when you know your centre-half's going to head it 30 yards away every time it comes near. So you can push up, you can really sort of look to push on again, get high, win second balls and look to start more attacks.
Yeah, Tossin enjoying a lot of possession, but another overhit pass there from the aforementioned Rob Flukes goes out for a goal kick. We are seeing, especially since Jimmy Ball's reign, since he was appointed, we're seeing a lot of focus on the wing-backs, aren't we? Callum Bourne, Jordan Rugay getting so high up the pitch. And I think I mentioned in the game against Handball that it almost seems like a 3-5-2 as opposed to a 5-3-2. Jack, I'm just going to go back to you again. Is that something that you can notice a lot on the training pitch and the focus? Another one, I'm just going to go back to Hisham Kassimu, who's in here after a poor goal kick. He's still got the ball. Adam Papera gets that. It's a penalty. Hisham Kassimu. It's an awful goal kick from Parry that was well cut out by Jordan again. He knocked it on with his head. Hisham Kassimu, we know his lightning pace. He latched onto the ball. Good 35, 40 yards out. And pressure from Papera. And it's a penalty to AFC Tottenham. Back to you, Jack Hoey.
We've sort of gone off the subject, but Hish done really well there. I thought he kind of overran it at one point, but he stayed with it. He stayed strong, and yeah, it looked like a slight nudge, put him off balance, and it's probably enough to have a pen. So let's hope he can put it away like he normally does.
I bet you would be loving to step up for this one.
I wouldn't mind. That'd be my 20th of the season in all comps.
He's been keeping count. But yeah, Hisham Kassimu, usually reliable from the penalty spot, standing just at the edge of the 18-yard box as he looks to take his run up. Looking at Jordan Rugay and Jake Adams potentially looking for a rebound, but the referee blows his whistle. Hisham Kassimu steps up and puts it to the left of Parry. A really, really well-taken penalty into the bottom right-hand corner. And a frantic, frenetic start to this game has a goal that it deserves. Hisham Kassimu, 1-0 to AFC Tottenham.
Yeah, he's so comfortable in front of goal. You know that he's gonna hit the target. I think that's his 28th goal of the season and his 21st in the league.
Yeah, you taking the words right out of my mouth. Just going to say, as Doug Webber said, 28 goals this season for Hisham Kassimu, by far our top scorer. Jack, and you're now 9 away from catching up to him.
I'm happy for him.
Of course you are.
As long as the team's doing well, that's all that matters.
Yeah, as I was saying beforehand, it's that thing that Jimmy Ball's instilled into this side, really focusing on the team performances as opposed to individual brilliance. But nothing can deny that Hisham Kassimu has been so consistent throughout our playoff and promotion push, and another goal for the striker. And it's a push there, elbow in the back from Jordan Rugay, but the referee doesn't see anything. Waves play on and he slides out to keep the ball in the touchline. It's been a really, really bright start for the Stags so far. But just going to go back to, before I was rudely interrupted by Hisham Kassimu's Sidibe pressures, Lewis Neuster. You know, it's been, I can't even remember what I was saying, but Jack Hoey, Rob Flukes in centre back since coming in from Winchester. He's been really, really instrumental, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been immense. I've previously played with Rob in my past experience at AFC Tottenham before I went away to America. But so I know him personally. He's a good lad. He's got a bit of experience now. He's played plenty of games and think it shows in the way he plays, no nonsense centre half, who we probably desperately needed at times this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming in from Winchester City, and quite a bit of Winchester City fans we saw on Twitter who weren't best pleased with their captain making the switch over to Totten. But, you know, we'll be meeting them again next week on Wednesday in a crucial semi-final game in the Southampton Senior Cup. Looking to get our first silverware this season.
I think I can understand the frustration from the Winchester fans, because actually we've seen how dominant he is in the air. We've seen how comfortable he is at the back, how much he, as Jack was saying, how much he makes the midfield feel comfortable as well when he's underneath that ball. I can understand that they've lost a real talismanic player. And that's going to have driven their approach to his, the response to his signing here.
Absolutely. Well cut out there from Ethan Taylor, just hooking it towards Jake Adams, who's battling in the middle of the park with Belmonte, I believe. Comes out to Callum Bourne, just playing it back to Jake Adams, who we've seen that switch so often in the first 15 minutes of this game. Jordan Regay goes infield, really good burst of pace, and Sidibe gets his body in between him and the ball. He's off the ball and powers Jordan Regay off it and knocks it clear. Harry Medway quite cynically definitely looked to impede Sidibe's progress there, and he's going to be called over by the referee, and the captain will be booked as the first caution of the game. Right decision, Doug?
I think he knew what he was doing. He took his eyes off the ball and he did give the player a nudge, and in that situation the player is always going to go down in a massive pile. But whether he needed to make it, Flukes was there. It would have been a one-on-one with Flukes, but as we've talked him up so much, what do you reckon, Jack?
Yeah, I really don't think H had to do that, but I don't know if he's been given a call, and it's hard to tell, but obviously, he's took him out.
Adam Mace, deep free kick that Lewis Noyes should claim, and he does catch very reliably, and we see that so often, his quick distribution. It's a 2-on-1 here. If Ethan Taylor can get to the ball, Parry comes out, and well claimed, you almost, and in fact, he did. Oh, no. I initially thought that Parry's momentum had taken him outside the box, and the referee was going to give a free kick to Totten for handball. But in fact, I think the linesman has called for a foul from Ethan Taylor, perhaps going a bit too overzealously on the keeper, and just give a time for the visitors to get a bit of... just take a breather. But
I'm not sure there was much contact there at all. I think...
Is he given offside?
No. It has been. I think it has been given as a foul.
Yeah.
I don't think there was much contact though, Jack.
I don't know. It's probably just the fact that he's come in so hot. Maybe he's not exactly touched him, but because he's gone outside the box, I think it would have been a handball had there been no contact. But he's probably just let him off with that one, to be honest.
Yeah. Agreed. Parry, one of a number of players that Evesham have got from Aylesbury, seems to be their sister club in Worcestershire. But we're just going to have a brief stoppage in play there. Gives us a chance to look at Agile Carpentry, our matchday sponsors for today. I mentioned earlier they're a carpentry business, family orientated, who focus largely on the south of England, the southwest of England. So if you are looking for any help with your carpentry needs, whether that be building extensions, loft conversions, a kitchen installed maybe, or just need some bathroom specialists, then definitely be sure to get in touch with Kyle of Agile Carpentry at agilecarpentry.co.uk.
And they have been really supportive, have Kyle and the team, so we can't thank them enough.
Yep. Evesham just getting on the ball here, tries a clipped ball over to the left-hand side, which is controlled there by Brandon Smalley. He's had a brief spell in America, just like yourself, Jack, and Callum Bourne the referee decides that Callum Bourne has just impeded the left winger there. Not entirely sure there was much in there.
That's a bit soft for me. Very soft.
Again, it's one of those ones. It didn't seem that there was a great deal of contact, but the player's gone down quite easily.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. 100%.
Yeah, it looks like Adam Mace. We've been seeing a few deep free kicks taken from the right-hand side, despite him being a left-back, but he is on the left-hand side now. It's pretty much in line of the 18-yard box. Evesham have got six men in the box, two Totten's six, I think, as well. It's going to be an interesting encounter. Ball whipped into the box. He's got ahead of it. And Preparer really should have put the visitors back on level terms there.
Yeah, I think we've really got to be careful, because we've given a few away now. And to be honest, how they've not scored is probably more interesting than if they had scored, really.
Yeah, very true, yeah. They have had chances. And actually, I don't know how much contact he made on that, but it wasn't a meaningful contact by any means.
Just been informed that my geography isn't too good with my English counties. That Lewis Noyce closed down again, really playing on thin ice here. Closed down well by Smalley from the left-hand side. And it's going to be a goal kick for the Stags, but another let-off. But Simon Corbett on the Podbean Stags Radio just informing me that Aylesbury is in fact in Oxfordshire, not in Worcestershire. So still seems like a sister club, but a little bit of education for me.
He is correct. I chose not to correct you, but look, somebody is. Somebody's correcting you. It's all good.
I think I made a similar mistake a week or so ago saying that Plymouth was in Plymouth Park. They played in Cornwall. They play in Devon.
Yeah, when I was deeply offended by that one, having previously lived in Plymouth. But no, Noisy, a couple of little shaky moments early doors. We know that he's a master of distribution. That is
brilliant. Ball. Unlucky there. We saw, just couldn't help but to notice that Jimmy Ball on the touchline was ordering his players to go onto the right-hand side, which almost like a migration there. But it left loads of space on Jordan Regé on the left. And Noisy noticed that, the space on the left, but Jordan Regé just couldn't quite control it as the ball goes out for a throw-in deep inside Evesham's territory. It's got camped inside Evesham's half-hit, our AFC Tossen. Just Rob Flukes and Olamiwa just talking to each other on the halfway line.
I have just been shown a phone. I will also have a little look at the Southern League Division 1 South as well.
I thought you were going to say 2-0 up there, and I was about to have a little bit of a fist pump, but not to be. It's a ball. My vision is just blocked at the moment, but it's going to be a throw into Totten, having Medway to take on the left-hand side. He's going to look long, I think, to Jordan Regé on the left. Or Hishan Kasimu, I beg your pardon. Well cut out there. It's Belmonte, but Rob Flukes, the instrumental centre-back, really imposing at the back, just getting it clear. Harry Medway again, good battle again with Sidibe. We've mentioned how important he is to the visitors today, but Ethan Taylor's got a lot of space here, about 20 yards out. He finds Callum Bourne on the right-hand side. He has time to set himself. Hooked ball into the box. It's gone past everyone, and Horrell will let that go for a goal kick, but a bit of space there for Callum Bourne to get a bit of a better delivery there.
Yeah, it all came from this battle between Harry Medway and Sidibe, and it's going to be really interesting to see that battle because they're both two physical players, both players that get really stuck in, and yeah, very interesting. I will reserve judgment on that.
Yeah, just looking at the other fixtures, as the season hots up, just four games left, including this one for Totten. So there's some crucial games in terms of our playoff race. We've got Poulton Rovers, Poulton Rovers, they've really fallen out of it, but Winchester City at home to Melksham Town, and a big game in the top of the table looking for automatic promotion is Cirencester versus Plymouth Parkway, as well as Froome Town versus Bristol Manor Farm. So if we can get 3 points today, it's an opportunity to really ensconce ourselves back into the playoff race and make sure we do make it there.
Yeah, and I think Jimmy will be like expecting the team to put on a performance. They had that good result in midweek, back to scoring free-flowing goals, and I think against the team 14th in the league, you would expect Totten to put on a good performance.
Absolutely. Hisham Kasimi just trying to flick that on to Ethan Taylor. It's been a parry once again has come well out of his goal to the left-hand side, almost again going out, his momentum causing him to go out of his 18-yard box, but he does gather under pressure from Taylor and Callum Bourne, and it's a clearance that's quite high but not too far that Flukes once again deals with. I'd love to see some stats on how many aerial duels Flukes has won since he's come into the Snow Stadium. Bit of a cheeky shove there from Ethan Taylor, but the referee gives nothing. Hisham Kasimu is in on goal here for the second of the game. Touch! And it's a great save from Parry with low to his feet. Hisham Kasimu just tried to put it underneath his legs, but the goalkeeper did very well. Callum Bourne into the box. Oh, and Jordan Regé and Hisham Kasimu both fighting for Waterfield. Just a half volley on the end of the box. It was quite an awkward height for him. Wasn't sure whether to chest it down or thigh it down, but it's a half volley that goes over the bar. And the referee is calling, I think, Papera over to caution him.
I think it was when the ball was played through. I think there was a little bit of an attempted pull on Kasimu, do you reckon?
Yeah,
there
definitely was a pull. I assume that's what he's gone for. Yeah, he did pull him. He didn't stop him, clearly. But yeah, Hish probably should finish that. He's probably disappointed, but he'll get plenty more by the looks of the way the game's going. So
absolutely. Could have been his 29th of the season in all competitions there. But I suppose in Papera's looking from Papel's perspective, how many defenders have we actually seen this season that can keep up with Hisham Kassimi's burst of pace? He's like lightning, and it's such a good focal point to have in our attack. But Rob Flukes does lose out there to Manny Sidibe. Harry Madwe just clears it over Mali's corner, and that might go as far onto the AstroTurf on the other side of the Snow Stadium. So a throw in here for Evesham on the right-hand side.
Jack, you'll be able to give us a bit of insight into, since Jim, what sort of manager is he? Is he very like dictatorial? Is he a shouter, or is he a quiet manager? What sort of thing do you expect from him?
Obviously he's still new. We're learning every day with him, but I think he's got a bit of everything. As in, he will shout if he feels it's necessary. He needs to get some point across, or he's just not happy with something. But then he can be very calm, and he talks a lot, you know, like to us, and he's still new, so I think we're all learning. But yeah, hopefully we're going in the right direction, and hopefully the performances and the results show that.
Yeah. Jimmy Ball, obviously the son of the World Cup, England's World Cup winner, Alan Ball. Also had a few experience with Stevenage and Forest Green in the Football League and the management staff. Just before Jack Hoey gave a bit of insight there to the behind-the-scenes stuff that Jimmy Ball does. Had an opportunity around the halfway line looking to counter-attack from Evesham's attack. We had pretty much a 4-on-4, really, that Jordan Regay tried to set free Jake Adams on the left-hand side, but overhit the pass, and Parry just shepherded it out for a goal kick.
Yeah, it had a little bit too much behind it, didn't it? But the thing is that they're attempting to play those passes, which is great to see.
Yeah, there's been a goal in the crucial playoff game in the Southern League Division 1 South. Cirencester have taken the lead at home to Plymouth Parkway. It is 1-0 there. Joseph Shepherd with the goal. So they've scored after 5 minutes as Parry absolutely... In fact, that almost hit me. That clearance was so miscued. Really high around the halfway line that Harry Medway will take again.
Also, a key goal at the bottom of the table. Ryan Turner has scored for Barnstable, and they are at home to Highworth Town, the team that we play next weekend. So still a potential opportunity for Barnstable to get off the bottom of the table.
Yeah, poor there from Jake Adams as he tries to set it back, but got a chance here. Belmonte, who I mentioned was dangerous on the left-hand side, tries to get the better of Olamiwa, who just sticks a toe in to slow down the attack. And then Belmonte, when he tries to switch the play over to the attacking fullback. In fact, I think that might be Mace on the right-hand side. In fact, no, it's Joseph Hunt at the right-back, but just over here, and it will be a throw-in deep in Tottenham's territory. So Evesham trying to camp their opponents in deep in their half. It's missed by everyone, and it will go straight back in and out for an Evesham throw. Jack Horrell now sat over the ball. So it looks like, despite the numbers, with Horrell being number 11 and Mace being number 2, Hunt being number 2, I beg your pardon, it seems as though the number 11 is playing at right back whilst the number 2 is playing on the right wing. So rather unusual, but...
Oh, it's new age. That's what it is. New age numbering.
And it's a really poor there from...
Go on. Oh.
Really poor. Tried to play it out of the back parry there, looking for Elliot Kightley, who I mentioned was bought from Cirencester in the winter, but he completely miscontrolled the ball. It seemed really, really bad piece of football.
It was a poor attempted touch from him.
So now throwing now, poor, evades everyone, and it will be safely into Parry's hands. Evesham, number 1. Who is number 1? Luckily, he's not like a number 9 or a number 8, so makes my job a little bit easier. So another drop kick going deep. Harry Medway towering over his opponent. Really good commanding header. That's something you get with the 3 centre-backs here. You know, we've got Flukes, Medway and Olamiwa. They've got to be all, I think, north of 6'1", would you say? 6'2". And they're just so good, so imposing in the air. The ball there, no lack of communication, but the referee just does pull it back there for an Evesham free kick. The third time they've had a position here that they can put the ball into the box. Just thought I'd mention the assistant, the referee today. Jordan McRitchie is the man in the middle today, and his assistants are George Redford and Michael Painton. So another opportunity for Mace, the captain, to put the ball into the box. It'll be another deep delivery high towards Lewis Noyce, and it's Lewis Noyce just calmly lets it go behind for a goal kick.
How nice is it for you to have a goalkeeper of the quality of Lewis Noyce behind you, Jack?
Again, Noisy's been fantastic really this year. His distribution, like you've just seen there, his kicking is unbelievable. But he's also got that one that we've seen earlier. We sort of shift along to the right, and he's done it multiple times. It's not even something that we work on. He just sees it, and I think he plays it sometimes. So, but yeah, some of the shot stops he's made as well is just.
His positioning means that he has reaction saves, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Great ball.
Oh, chance there. Oh, I'm not sure if the referee's going to penalise Jake Adams. I think he is. A ball over to the left-hand side was just looking to the path of Adams, and him and Parry collided. It seemed as though Parry just managed to get two hands on the ball before Adams poked it past him. What do you think? Was that a free kick?
Yeah, it was a free kick, I think, in that case. I think he did have two hands on the ball, and then one. You know that the referee's always going to protect a goalkeeper when they've got the ball in two hands.
Yeah, just going back to what Jack was saying about Lewis Noyce, did miss, I think, 9 games with an injury. But what you in which Ahmad Skriniar came in to fulfil his role?
Yeah, he did. And in all fairness, Ahmad was superb during
absolutely,
his time
absolutely.
Here. And he's learning. He's going getting games. So
yeah, chance here, good counter attack here from FC Tottenham. Taylor just perhaps a little bit.
I think Lewis would have been offside if he'd carried on. So
yeah, I think he had timed his run well, but I think the pass just came a little bit slowly,
slightly delayed. Yeah.
Yeah, I could just hear the young fans saying at the front of the stand, the director of football, Tony Croft, just bobbing his head from side to side as we hear a really good support there from our young fans. But the player's gone down here for Evesham. It looks a bit of concern there. The Mace is complaining that there was an elbow led from, I think, Adeola Miwa.
No, I think it was Freddie Reid.
Freddie Reid,
I think he's gone up for it. Not the tallest player on the pitch is Freddie Reid, trying to use his arms for leverage, but I think his elbow was just exposed. Is that how you saw it, Jack?
Yeah, I think he slightly maybe just caught him. He's probably not malicious, but like you said, it's part of the game. When you're jumping, your arms are sometimes involved, and we all get it, both sides. So I'm sure he'll be fine. He's just probably trying to milk it a little bit.
Something to have to say about Freddie Reid. He might be probably the shortest player in the AFC Tottenham roster, really, the lineup. But does win a few aerial duels, doesn't he? He does get up well. As you said, uses his arm for leverage against his taller opposition. But number 6, Callum Clayton, despite getting a blow to Freddie Reid, does seem like he's okay, just going over to the touchline.
I think we've got a goal in the Premier League, and I think it's for Brighton.
That's got to be a typo that Chelsea have scored. I see Timo Werner has put them 3-0 up.
And also, I think Brighton have scored against Arsenal, and Watford are now 1-0 down at home to Leeds United. Rafinha with that goal. So, not going all the way of the Saints today, unfortunately.
No, but as a Tottenham fan, I'm absolutely delighted Brighton scored. But well pressed there from Carl Belmonte. Again, we've seen it quite a few times this in the first half. Just Tottenham trying to play out from the back. But what do you think, Doug? Is it Tottenham being a little bit too patient, a little bit too...
I think sometimes there's a reluctance to just lash it long. But I think, sometimes there is such a thing as being overly patient.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, as Doug Webber mentioned, not good for Southampton in the Premier League today. 3-0 down early on at home to Chelsea. But in the important game today, a crucial game in the playoff hunt, Adam Mace has got a corner here. Whips it. It's low. Freddie Reid gets his head down to it. But Jordan Rugay absolutely hoofs that. It goes about 3 yards forward and about a mile up. But it's a chance here to break. Hisham Kassimu, if he just saw the run of Jake Adams, he was in. But Callum Bourne now switches the play. Over to Jordan Rugay. We've seen that so many times in the last couple of games. Brilliant control. Faces on the left-hand side into the box. Cuts out to Adams. A great save from Parry. But really, it should be 2-0 to the Stags.
Yeah, I mean, wow. What do you say about that? Hish maybe could turn and just slide Jake straight in. Possibly. He chooses Cal. Cal plays a superb ball over to Jordan Rugget, and Rugget does what he does. He beats his man, flashes it across. Keeper does well. Falls out to Jake, and he's done everything right as well, really. It's just man on the line. So yeah.
Jordan's control there was spectacular, wasn't it? That's a tough ball in windy conditions to control that. But the first touch was absolutely perfect.
I've been really impressed with Jordan Rugget. I mentioned in the handball game how I think there were players who needed a point to prove in that side. And I think Jordan Rugget was one of them. But he played really well in the handball game, assisting the first goal for Lewis Waterfield. And I think he's been a brilliant spark on the left-hand side for us today, causing so many problems for Horrell on the at right-back, and really should have an assist to his belt again. A really good flashing ball across, but Jake Adams, a poor delivery, low, and cut out at the near post. But it's going to be recycled again to Jake Adams on his weaker right side. He's going to probably look to cut into his left, but no, it's low to his right. Medway slides in really late, and I'd be surprised if the referee doesn't penalise him. He's already on a booking.
Oh, no.
And the referee is going to his pocket, and it's a second yellow card for the captain, Harry Medway. He went in very late there, perhaps forgetting that he got a yellow earlier on for impeding Sidibe about 10 minutes ago, but it's a really late lunging challenge there. One that he really didn't need to make, was it?
Yeah, I don't think he did. I don't know about you two, but it was reckless, a little bit lungy. He's gave the ref a chance, isn't he? And you can't give him sometimes. So,
oh, it's his second red card of the season. Got two bookings earlier in the season against Froome. It's a frustrating one, because especially when you've got the lead, you don't need to be making that challenge. You're in the opposition half. You've got pressure on. Don't make that challenge. Just keep your head.
Absolutely. A really, really lack of composure there from our captain. So just noticing Jimmy Ball ordering some new tactical instructions here. It looks like we're going to revert to a back four now as Medway's gone off. So as before, we looked like we were playing a 5-3-2. It looks maybe a 4-3-2. Would you agree, Doug?
The way they're lined up at the moment, I don't think that's going to be too telling. But Jordan Regay was alongside Adams. It looked like Adams had gone into a wing-back role. But I don't think we will see that. I think it will be the back four.
Yeah, I can see it looking maybe like a 4-4-1, yeah, right now. So
really disappointing, though, when you see just how well Callum Bourne and Jordan Regay have got forward as our wing-backs. And, you know, a ball put into the box here, but Lewis Noyes deals with appropriately. But as I was saying, having the wing-backs and having three centre-backs just gives you that licence to go forward, to maraud forward and cause so many problems for the opposing full-backs. But now, lack of composure there from Harry Medway causes us to play four at the back. And, you know, ordering instructions, everyone, Adeola Miwa and Rob Flukes. It's going to be a really difficult game now. Despite being 1-0 up, and I'd argue we've been controlling the game, it's been interesting to see how the game fares from now.
Yeah, and it does change the complexion of the game altogether. It can be very difficult to play against 10 men because they just you get those two banks of four that sit deeper and know that they have to control it from a deeper position. But you would have to say that you would see, you would imagine with this long on the clock, you would think that Evesham are going to come back into this game.
Yeah, long ball over the top, but Lewis Noyes once again claims. And a bit of bad news from an AFC Tottenham perspective in the grounds. Winchester City have gone 1-0 up at home to Melksham Town. Warren Bentley scored from the penalty spot in the 32nd minute. So lots of goal math action, lots of talking points to talk about after the game. As a ball over to the right-hand side finds Ethan Taylor, but the linesman waits a few seconds before calling him back for offside. But
Ollie, I also have to mention for the Saints fans that it's 4-0. Saints 0, Chelsea 4 at home. Havertz has scored the fourth.
Oh, Adam Parry, sorry to interrupt you, Doug, but seeing both players, I'm just noticing Lewis Noyes has gone down off the ball here, and I don't think Skriniar is on the bench today, but off the ball, absolutely under no pressure at all. It won't be a knock or anything.
No, I saw when he collected the ball previously, there was straight away a shake of the head from him. I don't know if you guys saw that. There was a real shake of the head. And I don't know whether that was because of an injury or whether that was to say to Jordan Regay, no, I'm not playing this ball short. But a little bit concerning, Jack.
Yeah, definitely. I did see that shake of the head. And I think it was to say to Jake, look, Harry's just gone. I'm holding this. Like, we'll just slow it down a bit, kill it. We get to half time. I think that was that. But yeah, he does. He's back up, but he's tough, noisy. So hopefully he'll be all right.
Yeah, since his return from injury, he's played all but two games for AFC Tottenham, only missing out on the 13-0 victory against Derby and the 12-0 victory against Hegyen. So he missed a few goals in his time where he's been rested. But Skriniar, we've seen at Lymington as a back to tail end of the season, a great long ball over the top. Jordan Regay does well to cut it out. We're still going to unsure whether Lewis Noyes is okay. He is. Does seem to be hobbling a little bit, but maybe just getting back into his stride now.
Yeah, it's a little bit concerning. I think the attention was being it was surrounding his knee, but
But Sidibe just causing a lot of problems for the AFC Tottenham defence. Yeah. I did notice on Evesham's website they do label him as a pacey striker. Does like to get beyond the last line of defence.
I really like the look of him. To be fair, he looks one of the best sort of strikers I've seen. Think we've seen down there. He's lively for sure.
Yeah, and actually, what it's interesting to mention that a lot of the key strikers in this league, when they've come here, they haven't done a great deal. We look at Leighton Thomas, who's top scorer in the league. He was very quiet when they came down here. So
both times, even
when we went up their place, he was quiet as well. So maybe it's not the greatest place for one of the top strikers in the league.
Yeah, good knock on there. Sidibe just pressuring Jordan McGay, who does well to shepherd it out. For a throw-in, does well there. I think he's been our best player so far, Doug. Would you agree?
Yeah, Jordan Rogay, he's been really good. And actually, now it's going to completely change his role. He now knows that he's going to have a much more defensive mindset than the very high line that him and Callum Bourne were playing early on. And so actually, he's going to have to work really hard.
Yeah, just testing Lewis Noyce there. Throws it back there. Also under no pressure. I'm wondering if that was an aberration with his poor kicks there, or perhaps he is still struggling there with that earlier injury.
He doesn't look comfortable, does he?
No, but I think there's a ball over the top there. I think Taylor's... That was a very tight decision there. Taylor did try to lob the keeper after the referee blew his whistle, but it did go over the bar high and wide. But I think it was very tight there from playing a very high line were Evesham, but the linesman did pull it back for offside, but trying to get, as I was saying, Sidibe trying to get beyond the last line of defence, Taylor trying to do the same. Obviously did score twice in the reverse fixture 6 months ago. Be keen to get on the score sheet today as a ball, another quite optimistic ball down the right hand side for Evesham, just goes out of play. But just looking over the last 5-10 minutes since Harry Medway's been sent off, is there a definite notice that we're playing with one less man?
I don't think it's not overly noticeable at the moment. Tottenham are still playing the way that they were playing before, in that they are trying to get the ball forward quickly. They're trying to go on the attack, and you probably will be able to tell us better, Jack. How difficult is it to play when you've only got 10 men?
It kind of depends what sort of side you are. I think for us as a team, playing with 10 possibly can be a challenge, because we do like to attack, we want to get forward. This means we sort of have to be a bit more cautious. But so far, I think the only difference really is they're probably having a bit more possession.
Well done from Jake Adams, cuts that out really well, but the ball was just running out of play and he tried to hook it forward for Hesham Kassimu, who didn't really give him much support on the left-hand side, probably drifting over to the right a bit too much, but I don't think he was expecting him to dispossess it. And just going back to what you're saying, Jack, about things we noticed, I think another clear difference is the fact the back four, the wing backs, aren't going forward as much as we saw against handball. But Sidibe doing really well to get past Olumiwa, comes out to Brandon Smalley on the left hand side. Now Clayton just playing the ball around back to Smalley, deep cross over to Hunt, who puts it back into the mixer, but Flukes under no real pressure, just hooks it behind for another corner for the visitors. But Hunt there did actually play for Cheltenham recently, played in the EFL Cup, the Papa John's Trophy, against Bristol Rovers, but since then has come over to Evesham, and he's been in the lineup quite frequently for the side, sitting in 14th in the Southern League Division 1 South. But the captain now, Adam May, is going to put another ball in. We haven't really dealt with too many balls into the box. Another deep cross, but Flukes gets up well. Holding his head there, I think, little clash of heads. Now over to the left-hand side, Sidibe, the dangerous Sidibe, goes past Flukes, ball into the box, comes to Belmonte. Really good chance there from the prolific midfielder on his left side, under no real pressure, just in between the 18-yard line and the penalty spot, but his swung effort on his left boot was rather central for Lewis Noyce, but well over the bar.
Yeah, I think, again, he's got to be doing better there. He's leaning back. Should be hitting the target as a minimum, really.
Yeah, it wasn't a great deal. It wasn't a great deal over the bar, but another little let off there for Tottenham. And actually, I would be saying to the players, like, look, in that situation, you have to hit the target, especially with Lewis Noyce potentially carrying an injury. You can't afford to pass up opportunities like that.
No, like you said, I mean, they've had quite a few opportunities today, but sometimes, you know, when you go to teams that are higher in the league, or not even that, but it's not a guarantee you'll get any chances. So when they come, you've got to take them, or at least work the keeper, yeah, or hit the target, minimum.
Absolutely. Evesham just enjoying a bit more possession since Harry Medway's dismissal. If you are just joining us on Stags Radio, sponsored by Agile Carpentry, it is 1-0 to the Stags from that penalty from Hisham Kasimu. But since then, Harry Medway has been sent off for a second bookable offence. Two fairly needless challenges. The first one impeding Sidibe around the halfway line, and the second one a lunge inside Evesham's box. But a chance here on the right-hand side for Jordan Lim, who we haven't mentioned too much of. Gets the better of Regay. Noyce does well to come across and claims at the second bite of the cherry. So very good from Lewis Noyce, who, as we've mentioned a few times, may be carrying an injury. We've just got over 1 minute left of this first period before we see Andrew Hanley put up the boards of stoppage time. I think we can expect maybe 2 minutes following that dismissal. We've seen a couple yellow cards.
Yeah, it could be even longer, to be fair. You had the stoppage for Noyce as well. Yeah. So there was the head injury. Heads, yeah. Yeah, so it could be 3 or 4.
Freddy Reid just controlling it well on his chest. Comes back, get little give and go with Waterfield. Another brilliant piece of interplay. Taylor, shot well blocked, but that was really nice from Freddy Reid and Lewis Waterfield. Two standout stars from the midweek game. It's at the other end. Smalley is set free. Sidibe on the right-hand side. One-on-one with Jordan Regay. Lets him on his right-hand side, flash it into the box. And again, a really, really good chance coming into the middle. I think it might have been Smalley, who has scored quite a few goals for Evesham this season. So once again, we can't help but to notice how exciting Sidibe looks for the visitors. One-on-one with Jordan Regay. And whilst we can, I think one of the critics for Regay is how good he is going forward. But people have mentioned that when he is playing in a flat back four, he possibly needs someone to support him. Obviously has that great burst of pace that he can go one-on-one with any defender if they choose to go up against him in a foot race. But Freddie Reid, nice bit of burst of pace past.
Need someone.
Yeah, that's how he's saying. Not much support there. Kasimu and Jake Adams not really giving him much options there. Just dawdling, really. But he does win a throw in there, Freddie Reid. Was awarded Stags Radio Man of the Match in the 4-0 victory over handball. Just as I was saying, you know, it's a young player, but really looked like he controlled the midfield. Looks like a class above. And then Jordan Regate throwing in, but Pera can't really deal with it. I think that'll be a corner.
This is a good opportunity late in the first half.
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. By my watch, it should be the 45 minutes up, but I can't see any board. And it seems like a running theme in Stags Radio, how I complain that we have far too many corners that don't beat the first man, but it's going to be Freddie Reid, the aforementioned Freddie Reid, who's going to be standing over there.
Yes, it's a massive opportunity here. If you go in at two, it's a massive difference, isn't it, to just the one goal lead. So hopefully Freddie will be able to master some magic here.
Absolutely. We did go in late goal in the first half against handball, put us 2-0 to the good. So now Freddie Reid, what may be the last toss and chance of the half. Ball, great ball in towards the back post on Amiwa. Just can't quite leap to it. Really good leap there from the centre half.
The referee has indicated a minimum of 1 minute.
And quite surprising there from the referee, indicating one minute.
Yeah, I feel like that's just their go-to, really. I think they just give one no matter what's happened, really.
Wow, I've got to say, I am surprised with that, because I could probably have counted at the very, very least, 2 minutes of added time.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree too. So just 1 minute left of this first period, in which Tottenham are 1-0 up. But the ball just does come out to Hunt on the right-hand side. Tries to get better of Adams. And Adams just, I think he did go for the ball, but it's a flailing leg, really. Just chopped down Hunt on the right-hand side. And he's going to be cautioned. Another booking here for Tottenham. So Adams is going to have to watch out. Obviously, gives another thing for Jimmy Wall to think about in the second half. But we do have some attacking options to bring on just in case. The likes of Brett Williams and Shaq Gwengwe. So, no. Last time Harry Medway got sent off, it was a red cards galore, wasn't it, Doug? We were here in a 2-2 draw against Froome. 3 red cards, penalty shootout. ball here. Another deep ball. Great ball in, actually. Olumiwa deals with it. Only comes out as far as Sidibe, who's going to set it back to Mace on his left foot. Another deep ball in. Good leap there from the Evesham player, but Lewis Noyce will claim and go to the floor. But now Olumiwa goes down under no pressure. I'm wondering if maybe his head clearance maybe hit the top of his head, giving him maybe a slight concussion. But he is going down. Andrew Hanley again, just on the touchline, just watching out. Hopefully he can just get forward to the interval as we can. I think it makes Jimmy Ball's halftime team talk really interesting, Jack. A goal, a red card, a few injuries, yellow cards.
Yeah, I think we've had everything already. But yeah, I don't know what he's going to say. It's hard to know right now. But obviously, we are in a good position. We do have the lead. So as long as we do not concede, we will take the 3 points. I think that's got to be the main point going into it, really.
Absolutely. Lewis Noyce just going to hoof it clear, and I expect the referee to blow for half time. He doesn't. It goes all really far. In fact, it goes over the Evesham hut bar. But the referee has called time on this first period. It is 1-0 at half time. AFC Totten taking the lead through Hisham Kasimu from the penalty spot. He almost scored, but he was under pressure from Pepera, and then the referee McRitchie pointed to the spot. But since then, Harry Medway's been sent off for the hosts for a second bookable offence. We can have very few complaints, really. Two needless challenges. But does, as I was saying to Jack earlier, makes the halftime team talk quite interesting. An even second half coming up as we look to make ground on the teams above us in the playoff hunt. But at halftime here, it is the Stags taking a 1-0 lead over the Robins. Doug, your halftime thoughts?
Yeah, it started in a kind of strange way, in an unusual fashion, did the game, and it's kind of continued from there. We've had the red card, we've had the penalty incident as well, and of course we've had a couple of kind of interesting injuries as well that we don't really know too much about. So, I just wanted to quickly ask Jack about Tuesday night. Your goal on Tuesday night. I think this is a great opportunity before we disappear for half time for you to talk us through it.
Hish made a great run. Keeper came out. He sort of won the ball, but it was kind of weird because it felt like he just left it sort of there. The centre half came in for it. Luckily, I won it, came through to me, and then, yeah, thought he was off his line clearly, and I thought, yeah.
It was a great goal.
Yeah, it's another good one. So yeah, quite happy with it. And like I said, if I can get one more at least, I'll be pretty happy with that return. So,
well, thank you for joining us in this first half. We appreciate you coming up to make your Stags Radio co-commentary debut.
Yeah, this is my debut. Yeah, late in the season, but yeah, I've enjoyed it. A bit different, but like I said, hopefully, lads have got themselves in a good position. Hopefully, they can see it out now. Professional performance and get the 3 points and move on. Next one.
Yep. Thanks so much, Jack. I think you're going to go over half time, and I think we'll have Nathan Hurst joining us for coverage of the second half. And just before we go off for our half time bovril or something to eat, Winchester have taken a 2-0 lead. As well as Barnstaple taking a 2-0 lead. So not too many goals in the first half. And that's all for the Southern League Division 1 South. So back again in about 10 minutes for the second half. So as a half time, it's AFC Totten 1, Evesham United 0.